Let's talk some NFL. Got the Seahawks hosting Jacksonville Sunday. Seattle of a second straight tight loss. Jags off the bye after getting their first win of 2021. Our guest, well, he hosts Believe in Jags on the Outstanding Believe Podcast Network. The show handle is at Believe in Jags Pod. We welcome in James Johnson. James, great getting a chance to talk with you. How's life treating you and yours these days?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, and I can't complain, man. We're dealing with a little bit chillier weather than we normally are used to in the South right now. But other than that, I mean, it's all good on this end.
All right, you know, I'm a huge MLB fan. I'm from Jersey, a lifelong Yankees fan, and I was watching your Twitter feed, so obviously you're a Braves fan. They start off, they get the Soler homer, a great performance by Morton in the bullpen. So how about your Atlanta Braves already up in the series?
Yeah, man, it's crazy because I don't think us as Braves fans thought they would be here where they are because, you know, their story is they just couldn't hit 500, right, for the longest. And then they made a couple of trades, as you said. You mentioned Soler, who they, you know, they picked up in Rosario, who was the MVP in the series against the Dolphins. And then Jock Peterson, who we're all familiar with because, you know, we've seen them battle the Dodgers many times. And, yeah, man, I think, you know, this is their year. Hopefully they'll take it and do their thing. I think this game, in terms of they're going to be having Max Fried out there on the mound, so hopefully he has a better go at it than he did in the last series and his last game against the Dodgers. And if he can just hone in and be the Max Fried we know him to be, this game is winnable when we can go into Atlanta, up two games in the series.
Hey, you just got to love where you are. All right, I guess we should talk some NFL. You know, when you think back to the Thursday night loss at Cincinnati and when Coach Meyer decided to hang out in his old haunt in Columbus. So, you know, you read a bunch in the media. I'm kind of curious, when you and Phil did the podcast after that, what was kind of the buzz? How did you address something that I'm not sure any of us ever quite witnessed?
Right, yeah, it's one of those situations that was very weird and bizarre that, you know, I even admittedly didn't know how to cover it as a writer as well because, you know, we've never seen anything like this. But as a journalist, you know, you have to adapt. And, yeah, that situation right there was one that, you know, it was bizarre in the sense that they were just coming off the loss in Cincinnati. You know, it's weird in the sense that, you know, you don't, you know, at least me and Phil and a lot of people in the journalism world, we've never really heard of the coach staying in the city that, you know, they played in or whatever the case may be. And that was the case with Urban Meyer. Of course, he has ties to Cincinnati and all of that. We understand that. But for him not to fly with the team, that was just awkward. But however, you know, that situation looks to be in the past because, look, they got their first win against the Miami Dolphins. You know, they couldn't have come at a better time because there were so many distractions with that situation going on. And, you know, this is a testament, and, you know, maybe not just to the team, but Trevor Lawrence as well, as the young quarterback he is, that they were able to just kind of, like, get those distractions and put them behind them and somehow travel all the way, you know, several time zones over to London and take care of business against the Dolphins. And hopefully they can get on the right track after that situation, which was, you know, one of the craziest in Jags history, at least since I've been covering the team.
Talking Jags with James Johnson, Believe in Jags podcast. You know, I was one of those who thought, you don't even need to think twice. Trevor Lawrence is your number one pick. I think this young guy is going to be all that. As you might expect, a rough first few games. Then they almost beat the Bengals, who were a really good team. And then Trevor against the Miami, the big game-tying drive, the throw to Chenault to set up the winner, probably his best all-around game. So limited opportunity to see him because he's still a rookie. But, James, what's your evaluation on kind of how he's coming along as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, he's been coming on strong, especially going back to that game that you specifically mentioned there, that that game against the Cincinnati Bengals, where, you know, I think what really helped him is they opened up his ability as a runner and as a passer. And that's what really makes Trevor Lawrence dangerous. I can remember Aqib Talib saying that, you know, in his broadcast with Gus Johnson when they covered them for that Cardinals game, he told Trevor Lawrence, hey, man, use your feet a little bit more. And if you do that, the game will slow down for you a little bit because you open up this wide array of things to the defense that they have to account for. And lo and behold, you know, obviously Trevor heard him. Obviously the offensive coordinator, Darrell Bevell, heard him. And ever since then, he's been much, much better. He's cut down on his interceptions. We all know that was a big issue. And turnovers in general, that was a big issue for him in those first three games or so. This time around, though, since that game, he's only thrown one pick. And I think he had one fumble, which that occurred to the Dolphins. It was a sack fumble or whatever the case may be. But he's cut down tremendously on the turnovers, you know, and the game is just slowing down for him. Yeah, sure, it's some routes that he's not seeing as fast as you like still, but, you know, that's part of the process. But for the most part, he's seeing routes faster. He's making throws that people in Jacksonville, quite frankly, haven't seen since the days of Mark Brunell. even if that, you know, if you want to say that, like, he's making some throws that we probably haven't seen with Mark Brunell. But, he is truly, truly what, you know, you thought you were probably getting as the number one overall pick.
You know, it might be because the team has struggled, but they've got the young guy from Illinois State, the Redbird, James Robinson. I don't know if he gets his proper due. I mean, even as a rookie last year, he missed a couple games, almost had 1,100 yards, five TDs the last four games. James, how do we properly measure all he does in this, the offense run by the former Seahawk, Darrell Bevell?
You're right. He is monumental and huge to this offense. He's part of the reason, going back to our previous question, right? He is part of the reason why Trevor Lawrence, and a big reason, really the key reason that Trevor Lawrence has been able to flourish the way that he has. And you still can argue that even with them getting James Robinson more involved than they had previously got him involved, he only had 16 touches in the first two games. And then, you know, the Jaguars started to use him a little bit more. You could still argue, though, that they aren't using him enough still. He still hasn't seen 20 carries in one game. I think the most he's seen is 18. But, you know, when they got him into that 18, that 17 carry range per game, that's when he really started to help Trevor Lawrence. And we all know that a running back is a quarterback's best friend. And that's why the offense in general has taken off. That's why you've seen Trevor Lawrence be able to make these throws that he's making. Marvin Jones be able to, you know, get past defenders or whatever because they're accounting for the run a little bit more than they previously were. So he is crucial to this offense. I mean, he's a top 100 player in the eyes of his own peers. They voted him into the NFL top 100 show, the one that's actually done by the players. He was player number 100. So as you said, yeah, he's not as known and probably not doesn't get his due like he deserves. But people are starting to find out who James Robinson is. And hopefully by the end of the season, you know, people will start putting him, you know, in that tier with your Dalvin Cooks and your Derrick Henrys and so on and so forth.
You know, on the other side of the ball, you mentioned one name, and everybody thinks you're talking about the Bills quarterback, but Josh Allen, you know, it's his third year. He's their edge rusher. By the way, I actually went to high school in the same county I grew up in Jersey, but he had a terrific rookie season. He was hurt last year, but James, how much of a force has he been this year now that he's healthy again?
Yeah, well, the big thing with Josh Allen is, you know, most of us feel that he needs the guy beside him. And you referred to that rookie year. The key was he had guys like Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue beside him, and that is not to take anything from Josh Allen. Because as of the last two games, he's starting to get back to what we saw in that year, that rookie season. The last two games, he's been phenomenal with getting pressures, phenomenal with he even almost caused a fumble on Tua Tagovailoa against the Miami Dolphins when they faced them over in London. The ball got out of his hand and it ended up going to the tight end, or it fell short of the tight end, who would have probably turned that play up for a lot of yardage. It was almost a safety, as a matter of fact. So he's a guy that, like, he was really a nuisance and just a pest to specifically the Miami Dolphins. And again, the game before that, he was pretty active as a pass rusher too. So he really is starting to look like a first overall pick, a top 10 pick, despite not having those guys now. And it makes you wonder if the Jacksonville Jaguars invest into getting one more guy within that defensive line or on the edge to help him out. It makes you wonder, like, just how good Josh Allen can be, because he's already proven to be a pretty phenomenal player without those guys right now. He's finding his way without the guys that he previously had as a rookie.
A couple final thoughts for James Johnson, Believe in Jags podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. A big offseason move. They signed Shaq Griffin away from the Seahawks. Start on one corner. He's a former Pro Bowler. He's a Florida guy. I would say they have more of a reworked secondary. They got the rookie Tyson Campbell. Rayshon Jenkins came over from the Chargers. So how has Shaq done providing, I guess, some experience and stability to what's a relatively new group?
Yeah, he's, quite frankly, when you look at it, especially the last few weeks, last three or so weeks, because to me, he started off a little bit slow. But, you know, these last 3 weeks or so, he's been the guy for the secondary, really, because it's a struggling secondary. It's a young secondary, and it's a secondary that needs a lot of work. And he's clearly the best player of the bunch. You maybe can make an argument, but we haven't seen the young man yet, but maybe you can make an argument that Andre Sisco could maybe be one of the best players on that secondary if he ever gets in the game, but they haven't been using him as a third round pick, and hopefully they'll get to that eventually. But clear cut and dry, yeah, he is above and beyond the top cornerback on the team. He's a guy that, you know, I can remember looking at the Seahawks threads and whatnot. In terms of a leadership aspect, a lot of the Seahawks fans were upset and sad when he signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars and felt that he was going to be sorely missed. And, you know, you start to see that, too, like with the Seahawks and their struggles defensively. And now we understand as Jags, media members and Jags fans, why Shaq Griffin was a guy that, you know, that was loved so much over in Seattle. One thing I will say, though, for what they paid him, I would like to more so see him hang on more to the interceptions that have hit him in the hands. I've counted at least three that have hit him in the hands that he could have had. But aside from that, I mean, we kind of knew that he wasn't a high pick guy, a guy that was going to cause a lot of turnovers. But aside from that, you know, you know, he's finding his own. And I could see a scenario, they haven't said this, but I could see a scenario where he follows or trails DK Metcalf because he's so familiar with the personnel there. And the Jaguars' other cornerbacks probably can't handle Metcalf, if we're being honest about it.
And lastly, you know, this Seahawk team, when the schedule came out, you figure it's going to be Russell Wilson. He's out. Chris Carson's out. DK Metcalf's been a little dinged up. They lost their nickelback last Monday. And, you know, this is a team that's been really successful. They're 2-5, desperate for a win. So what's the word about facing this Seattle team that, frankly, looks a lot different than you would have expected a month ago?
Yeah, well, I think in the media realm, and, you know, the Jaguars probably feel this way, too, that it's a winnable game. And, you know, again, like you said, without Russell Wilson and watching Geno Smith on Monday Night Football, and even before, you know, he's a guy that I don't think is going to necessarily, and this is no disrespect to him because I love him coming out of West Virginia, but he's not a guy that will, that actually strikes fear into this defense. The problem is the Jaguars defense, at least as a passing defense, is along the lines of the Seahawks. They, you know, they are right in the same tier there. So if Geno Smith was going to have a good game this season while he's filling in for Russell Wilson, as Jags fans and as Jags media members, we wouldn't be surprised if it's this secondary. So, it feels like if it gets to that point, it might be more so a shootout because that's kind of how the Jags game with Miami went. They were just kind of trading offensive blows, if you will, because the secondary is so suspect on this end. But they definitely feel like it's a winnable game. And, you know, you can make the argument now that, the atmosphere in Seattle in terms of the 12th man and whatnot, the kind of magic and the luster behind that isn't what it once was. And that could help the Jaguars. Not saying the fans aren't as loud as they used to be or whatever the case may be. But what I'm saying is home field advantage for the Seattle is no longer what it used to be, if you get what I'm saying, in terms of Seattle's record. So that being said, we'll see, you know, if this new set of Jacksonville Jaguars, they're younger than the previous bunch we've seen in the past. A lot of these guys aren't from that last team that faced them, the Seahawks in 2017. This is a young bunch. This is a new bunch. Maybe they aren't as bad on the West Coast as their, you know, their predecessors were, because they've struggled mightily as a team, as a franchise, since the Jaguars have, you know, been a franchise. They struggled mightily in terms of going to the West Coast.
Well, I have a feeling this is going to be another one of those down-to-the-wire games. But, folks, he's James Johnson on Twitter. Use at sportsgrind_Don, the podcast handle at Believe in Jags Pod, part of the great Believe Podcast Network. I'm going to get him, let him go now and get ready for Astros Braves game two. Hey, James, great to get a chance to have you on the show. Really appreciate you taking some time. Wishing you and yours well, and look forward to catching up again down the road. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. And anytime y'all want to talk Jags again, you know, if we face each other in the future, feel free to reach out to me. It was a fun time. Thanks for having me.
All right, have a good one.